welcome to Grace Lutheran Church and Holy Cross Lutheran Church sermon podcasts. On this podcast channel, you will hear the latest sermons taken from our weekly worship service. Our hope is that you will find joy and comfort in knowing the forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ.
All right, before we get started here this morning, you're going to participate with me in something. When I point to you, you say, "Get Christ right." Let's try it.
Get Christ right.
Now, I may be doing something else, and then all of a sudden, I might...
Get Christ right.
Okay, so if I bend down and pick something up...
Get Christ right.
This week, the epistle reading, once again, is from the first letter of John. This has been the epistle featured throughout this Easter season, and for very good reason. The author, St. John, was an eyewitness of the risen Lord. You caught me. I expressed too much with my hands. All right, all right. Okay. The author, St. John, was an eyewitness of the risen Lord. And his letter bears witness concerning the life God has given us through the death and resurrection of his Son. Now, at the very beginning of this letter, John stated, "The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life." And now, as he comes to the end of his letter, and the end of this post-Easter season, John makes it clear that the eternal life to which he bears witness is not just a matter of his or any man's testimony. It is God's own testimony. He gives God the last and indisputable word on the resurrection of his Son. And this is absolutely, beyond the shadow of a doubt, important. There's a reason why God's own testimony is undisputably the only valid testimony about his Christ. And John wants to make sure that you
get
Christ right by letting God, the Father's testimony, speak for itself. Because if you get Christ wrong, nothing else in Scripture matters. Your faith is wrong. Your life is wrong. Your hope disappears and your worship is in vain. Christ is God's visible, incarnate word. Christ is not a matter of opinion, to like or dislike, or an individual truth. Christ is, as the author of Hebrews says in the very first chapter, verse 3, he says that Christ is the exact image of God's essence. The verse in Hebrews draws upon the imagery of the signet ring used at that time to seal documents by an ultimate authority. And it means just as the signet ring leaves an exact image of what is engraved on the ring, so the Son is the exact image of God the Father's essence. He is the face of God incarnate. And in today's world where testimony is given as a matter of opinion, God's testimony is that his Son is the incarnation of his exact image, of his word, making his testimony irrefutable, undeniable, indisputable, incontrovertible, because God the Son shares in the essence with God the Father. Okay, Pastor, we get it. God's testimony is important. Well, I hope you do get it, because false teachers in the first century church and today, preachers, some television evangelists, today still do not get it. John writes to his churches in Asia Minor, that's the western part of Turkey today, and it was to reveal an emergent first century philosophy and false teaching that was interpreting Jesus' life and his death and his resurrection on their own. The philosophy was known as first century Gnosticism. The false teacher whom John addresses as Antichrist in his letter is named Cerinthus. Permit me a bit of historical context here. Cerinthus and the other Gnostics taught that Jesus was an ordinary man upon whom God's Spirit descended at baptism and who left that man, Jesus, when he was on the cross before he died. Jesus only appeared to be divine. Being spirit, he would never take on human flesh. Their Platonic philosophy pitted against flesh, spirit against flesh. Anything material such as flesh was contradictory to the spirit. All matter in this world was evil emanations from a pure spirit. So Jesus, recognized as a holy man, was chosen by God, but not God's son, according to these people. He taught salvation as a secret knowledge of the Father, revealed only by the Spirit. Knowledge and philosophical understanding was the way to ascend out of the materialism this world into a spiritual realm, causing you to leave the material world behind. They got Jesus wrong. Cerinthus never knew Jesus, never saw him, never touched him, never heard him, was not present at the resurrection. But what was even more pernicious about Cerinthus and his teaching was that he and his followers were actually members of John's congregation. Congregations, actually. They walked as Christians. They talked as Christians. They sang hymns with the Christians. They worshiped with Christians. And according to them, they were the true Christians, the enlightened ones with secret knowledge. John, however, reveals who they are to show that they are not Christians because they do not receive the testimony of the Father. But only if you... Oh, come on. Only if you do you get the Father, the Holy Spirit, the whole kingdom, and eternal life. Okay, Pastor, again, we get it. And again, I hope you do, but I fear many don't. You remember COVID, don't you? Churches closed. Parishioners took to the internet for worship and Bible study, or not. Some Lutheran churches began streaming on YouTube, Facebook, or elsewhere. But some decided to do a little exploring elsewhere, visiting other churches perhaps that they found on the internet. You may have heard remarks like these. Hey, guess what? I found a cool worship service on the internet. They have excellent musicians, better than ours. The preacher's dynamic and really knows his stuff. Really motivates you and encourages you, gives you hope during this time. That may be fine, but only if you, as people, satisfied their spiritual needs elsewhere. I highly doubt the first criteria on their mind was considered, do they get Christ right? Or how is Christ preached? I think most considered the quality of video. There were no glitches, or it wasn't pixelated. They probably considered the aesthetics of worship. And worship suddenly developed an entertainment, coffee atmosphere in a bathrobe with a cup of coffee, maybe eating breakfast, or leisurely worship recorded at a good time when you have time to watch it. I oftentimes thought of coming to our Zoom worship in a bathrobe and a cup of coffee just to make a point. In today's marketed gospel audiovisual media, there are plenty of churches who get entertainment right. They get music right and the quality, even orchestras. They may make you feel like you're in heaven. They may get large audiences overflowing from the pews. They may have eloquent speakers. But if you don't, the worship atmosphere, the entertainment presentation, the crowds, the inspirational Bible teaching on being obedient, or the preacher's do's and don'ts to being a better or true Christian, an authentic Christian, or the steps that you need to take in order to become spirit-filled Christians are empty and meaningless. In our world of false teachers, they walk with Christians, they talk like Christians, they sing the same hymns as Christians, the Mormons do, and even act like Christians. You have to test the spirits. These modern-day spirits, John writes in chapter 4 of his letter, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to determine if they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God, and by this you know that you are a true Christian. Every spirit that confesses Jesus as the Christ who has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that refuses to confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that spirit is not from God. You must hold their teachings and practices up to God's testimony. You test these spirits with God's testimony," when John writes, "If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God that he has borne concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever believes who does not believe, God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this," says John, "is the testimony, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." Testimony is the key word here. In civil affairs, you know, testimony has to do with a solemn telling of the truth in a very important matter. A person is called upon to give testimony in a court of law when an important matter is at stake, and the person is sworn to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And when the person's testimony is then borne out by two or three witnesses, all saying the same thing, we accept the testimony as true. Evidence is presented. The testimony is true. Well, how much more so then when it comes to the testimony of God? And that's how John runs his argument in our text. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. This is just not just the testimony of any person. God's testimony is based on action. The testimony of men is based on words. The testimony of God is based on what he has done since creation to reveal himself through the prophets and through his Son's fulfillment of prophecy. Jesus repeated over and over in his gospel, perhaps you remember, to the Jewish leaders. He says, "If I testify about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who testifies about me, and I know the testimony he testifies about me is true. You have sent to John, and he has testified to the truth. I do not accept human testimony, but I say this so that you may be saved. He was a lamp, John the Baptist was, that was burning and shining, and you wanted to rejoice greatly for a short time. But I have a testimony greater than him. For the deeds that the Father has assigned me to complete, the deeds I am now doing, testify about me that the Father has sent me." God's testimony confirming his Son were the signs that John talks about. The signs were not proofs. They were the testimony of God that this was and is his only Son, the Messiah, had arrived. In effect, God is saying, if you see Jesus performing miracles in my name, fulfill prophecy, die, rise from the dead, then you, he is my testimony. Jesus completed God's testimony by his sacrificial death on the cross, shedding his blood as the price that sets you free, free from sin and death. And as God's signet ring, Jesus bears the seal of the Father and seals our forgiveness and eternal life with his blood. The Spirit then bears witness to this saving truth through the preaching of the gospel, as Paul writes in chapter 10 of Romans. Faith comes through hearing, and hearing comes through the preaching of the gospel. God's Holy Spirit creates in you faith through the testimony of God's word and seals you as God's own in baptism. All who believe in God's testimony bear the seal, the image of Christ, God's Son, the mark of salvation, the water, and the word. John says that God gave you eternal life, and this is the life is in his Son. You have everything you need. You need not anything more. You have the Son. And when you, all your needs are met. You do not need teachers who say you are a Christian only if you. No, that's wrong. Once again, my finger gets in the way. You do not need teachers who say to you, you are a Christian only if you speak in tongues or have lively, entertaining worship, because the sign is the Spirit if it's lively. Overflowing pews does not testify that preachers get Christ right. Extensive teachings on do's and don'ts do not make you a true Christian. Nor does a 12-step plan to tell you that you're Spirit-filled. In a world filled with diverse and divisive preachers and teachers, you only when you believe in God's testimony and his word that God gave you eternal life and this life is in his Son. And you seek him where he promises to be present for you, in the waters of baptism where he claims you as his own, and in his supper offering you his body and blood, strengthening and sustaining your faith. Let's face it, when you get Christ right, you get the right Christ. Amen.
To know more about the ministry of Holy Cross Lutheran Church, visit holycrossconcord.org/home. You can find all the sermons on your favorite podcast channel at gracealoneonline.org/sermons. May God bless your day.